Hey, here we are with the lag again. I was hoping that cord would come today, but it didn't. So you guys will just have to put up with it.
Yeah.
For a few more days.
We'll see if the cord actually fixes the situation. We don't have to buy a new laptop.
Yeah, I don't know if it will or not. I mean, you know, it wasn't that expensive, so hopefully it won't be like that.
Trying to get this shit started.
Hi, Clay. Hi. People showing up. And I mean, we'll do a live stream tomorrow, but then we probably won't do another one until the regular show on Saturday.
The link that I have. Okay, there it is.
Yeah, because I started one and then I fucked it up and I had to.
So there were two links.
There were, yeah. All because right. The first one that I did was like fucked up and I had to quit. So I had to like
start. Yeah, we just got off of another review that we reviewed.
Don't tell anyone.
I'm not going to tell you, but you guys are going to like it. That's going to go up when?
Friday. Well, unless you're a patron, in which case you'll see it Thursday morning.
Okay.
And like I said, patrons already know because I always post like at the beginning of the week on Patreon what the shit for the week's going to be. At least the shit that I know.
They're all piling in.
Everybody pile in here.
Hey, I was just telling Jenny that sources are telling me that the Disney Corporation is in dire straits right now. And that chances are that Disney's gone, which that's fucking bizarre that the company's that big has been around for so long is going to fucking fly apart. But they're evidently going to fucking massive layoffs and a real bad report's going to go out to the shareholders about how much money they're fucking losing. Chances are fucking Disney stock's going to plummet. And it's already pretty much in a death spiral, overextending itself, building failed theme parks in Dubai. Spending too much money on Star Wars, spending too much money on what's that fucking thing, on that damn streaming service that they had. They're not making any money. More people working in the parks than coming to parks and empty hotels. And it's going to probably go, according to what he says, it looks worse than AMC theaters on paper.
Clay says, where's Pookie?
Pookie running around.
She just came in a second ago, and then she ran back out again because I guess we weren't doing enough to, like, entertain her.
Yeah. Yeah, Mago said it's a dead duck company. I believe so. One of the titans of entertainment going down in flames. The guy who gave the report, who has contacts inside the corporation, they believe that it will be dismantled over the coming months and sold off. It ain't looking good. That's something, huh? That part of American fucking history. But then again, everything is part of American history.
That's what I was just going to say.
Everything goes into the past.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I can't really. Maybe it's just because I'm getting old. I just can't get all that upset.
Yeah, you're like,
oh,
fuck it.
I'm not like a real nostalgic person. I've never been a real nostalgic person.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So it's just kind of like, and the thing about it too is that I really only try to worry about shit that I can like do something about, and I can't do anything about that. So.
I get a certain amount of fucking kind of like I have a kind of like an out of body experience when I see things just fucking vanish. You know what I mean? It's like standing next to a damn glacier or something and watching it go by, like watching dead mall videos. It's like, damn, all that shit's gone. Look how big it is. That could never fail. Oh, it failed. Like the Titanic.
I like those, but not because I don't know. I'm just not real nostalgic about it. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for people that like lose their jobs, and I feel bad for like the real people whose lives it impacts. But like, other than that, I don't know. It doesn't bother me all that much, I guess. I got my own fucking problems.
Disney Corporation's been fucking up for the past 20 years anyway. I mean, you know, the theme parks are pretty damn dated when you put them next to fucking Universal. I mean, Universal's awesome. Blows Disney out of the damn water. And to have a successful theme park, you got to be on top of your game. Nostalgia isn't going to bring you through it anymore.
Well, I mean, back in the day when they opened it, it didn't have any competition. And now, like, Orlando is just fucking full of theme parks and other shit you can do. And you have to kind of like...
Yeah, and look at the difference. The last time being at Disney and fucking Universal blew Disney out of the fucking water.
Well, yeah, because they spent a lot of money on that shit.
Just that Harry Potter virtual reality ride, I was fucking astounded. Felt like I was moving all over the place, riding on a damn fucking witch's broom. Wind and smoke and shit. You been on that thing? You were on that thing with me.
We went on it together. That's right. We were there at
that
the same
time. That
fucking
blew me away, man. I couldn't believe I wasn't moving much. I wasn't moving much, but it makes you think you're moving, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Blowing wind on you.
They had one like that at, I don't think it's there anymore, but we used to have MGM, like MGM Studios. And they had a Back to the Future ride. think that was at MGM Studios. And it was like, or maybe it was Old Universal. I can't even remember. I think it was MGM. But you got into DeLorean, and it was like same kind of thing at 3D. It was, woo, man. It's just like flopped you all over the place. But it really did look like you were going everywhere. Those kind of make me a little bit motion sick, to be honest. I do like them, though.
Tammy's saying that they were dated and overpriced. That's exactly what they were.
Yeah.
And then they changed shit. Like, safe for safety reasons, like, they had to turn the lights up in the Small World ride. And when you had that thing brightly lit, you could see the cheap-ass ceiling and the fucking, and the little paper dolls that looked cheap as crap, little dancing paper dolls. They even kind of lightened up the haunted house a little bit. You could kind of see the seams and things.
I think
it
that
still looked good, but
yeah, that ended up happening, I think, particularly in the Small World ride, because I think a couple kids like fell off of there and drowned or some shit.
Is that what it was?
I think, yeah. That was a long time ago, if I'm remembering it correctly. I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure I at least one kid drowned.
It really only had three good rides: Splash Mountain, the Haunted House, and Space Mountain. That was really
good. Still love the Haunted House.
Yeah. That was really the only reason to go to Disney World.
Yeah.
If you ask me. And it's not worth what they wanted.
Yeah, like I said, it was worth, just too. Like I said, I wouldn't care if it was that much to get in if you could like eat for free all day.
Right.
Like if you didn't have to pay restaurants and like shit on top of it. Like if you just got free food, then I'd be like, oh, okay, that's a good deal. Because that would just be like one full day and you could just do what you wanted.
And if the Disney Princess is stripped, if they had like an adult,
version.
They have like, okay, you see the Disney Princess, and over here, man, for all you paying customers. You know, then you go in there, it's like a strip club.
Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah.
Maybe they should. That's one thing they should do. Well, remember back in the old days when they first opened, you actually had to pay to get in. It wasn't super expensive. You had to pay to get in, and you had to pay per ride. You had to pay for tickets.
Yeah,
remember and that. Like Space Mountain and stuff like that were expensive, like because they took, you had to have like an e-ticket, which was like the most expensive one.
Remember the old Snow White ride?
You had to buy
ride?
a booklet of them.
Remember the old Snow White ride where the fucking screaming witch came out at you?
Yeah, that used to that scare the crap out of me.
And the old Peter Pan one where you're flying over the fucking city?
And Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah.
I was into that where you went to hell at the end.
I don't even think those exist anymore, do they?
I think they took them out. Like one of them, I think Mr. Toad was gone like a long time ago because I think they put like a Winnie the Pooh thing in there.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering it correctly. I don't know. I haven't been
Knew who Mr. Toad was probably by the time that they took
them out. Because Wind in the Willows is like so old and I don't think it's as it's not that widely read anymore.
No,
it wasn't even widely read when I was a kid.
Remember the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yeah, yeah.
One? That was a fucking fun one with the fucking underwater dad.
Yeah, I liked that.
You weren't even deep. The thing wasn't underwater. Just the window was underwater.
The window was underwater. I mean, if you went like that, you could see the surface.
Yeah, but they had it dark, so you couldn't see the surface.
So you couldn't tell.
And then the giant fucking squid.
That stressed me out because I'm always like really scared of like deep water shit.
Yeah.
So any big monster like underwater was going to scare the crap.
It's all just an illusion.
Sig's Armor says Peter Pan is still there.
Is it still there?
Yeah. Right. Snow White's not there and Toad is gone. I remember when they got rid of Mr. Toad because I was kind of sad. I always liked that one.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said, even when I was a kid, you know, Wind in the Willows was kind of not really something. I think I read it, but I don't think a lot of kids
Mango knows his shit. Mango Badger knows his shit because he brings up all the details. That's right, man. Iger fucking overstretched the company. That motherfucker's going to be leaving that company in disgrace. They fucked up Star Wars. I think that was the nail in the coffin. Because they spent nearly $1 billion for that shit. Force Awakens made good money, but the return slowly declined. And, you know, one of them, fucking the Solo movie, it didn't make any money. And it lost money.
Even though I didn't even mind that movie.
It wasn't that bad. It's just that, you know, the crowd had kind of soured on it. Evidently, like, the closest thing to the original Star Wars is The Mandalorian. They say that series is really good.
Yeah, we'll have to watch
that. So they're going to try to make more Mandalorian. Wouldn't surprise me if they make a Mandalorian movie and try to get rid of the whole fucking Star Wars thing. And we're just going to stick with the Mandalorian. That would probably make money because they said the tone, they said it was just like classic Star Wars. Better, actually.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it.
Yeah, back when Anheuser-Busch had ownership of SeaWorld. I don't think they do anymore. Do they even own Busch Gardens anymore, like in Tampa? Holy shit, I don't even remember. I mean, I guess they do because I think they sold the Clydesdales. I haven't been to Busch Gardens either since fucking the late 90s, maybe. I just, you know, we can't afford to go to theme parks. I like going to theme parks, but I just can't afford it.
It's $100 a person.
And honestly, if you're going to go in Florida, I don't want to go in the summertime because one, it's too fucking hot and you'll get a heat stroke. And two, it's too fucking crowded.
Yep.
It's better to go in the wintertime. I always have a better time if it's like cold out.
Yeah. Summertime's for fucking tourists.
Well, yeah, because that's when all the kids are out of school. So it's like you can come from around the world and like, you know, go there. But like I said, you're going to get fucking heat stroke.
You're easy going to spend $200 a person.
You know? Yeah. Oh, easily.
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 Probably more like $250, especially if you're eating there.
Yeah.
And
because food's not cheap either.
And Disney isn't worth that.
No, like I said, I wouldn't care if it was cheaper.
Universal was worth that maybe, but. You have to be the right people.
I don't even know about that. I mean, yeah, it's like, it's still a good time, but it's like still just to get in the door.
And there's no alcohol.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing, man. If you could drink there for a reasonable amount of price.
Well, now you can drink at Epcot.
Yeah.
I thought you could drink at Universal because didn't Universal has Halloween Horror Nights and you could drink at Halloween Horror Nights. You know what I mean?
Okay. I guess you could.
Because I remember a bunch of drunk ass people running around at Halloween Horror Nights. I don't know if they do. It was a long time
ago. I don't remember any drinking at Disney. And you couldn't afford to get drunk at Disney.
Well, like I said, Epcot you can drink. Because that was kind of the whole thing is you'd have to take the monorail over to Epcot and get schnockered over there and then come back to Disney. That was like what you had. That's what you did.
Right.
You went over to Epcot and got drunk.
Right.
Because they had good liquor over there because they had like the around the world thing.
Yeah.
So you get all the good German shit.
Right. Imagine if you went to that theme park on acid.
You'd probably like never recover.
Yeah. One of the things that always got me with those theme parks is that they always seem to close early.
It depends on the time of year. That's one shitty thing about going in the winter is they do tend to close earlier.
Yeah.
Because it gets dark earlier and they don't like have a lot of real late night.
Yeah, and I understand it because Magic Mountain didn't close early like that, you know, in California. And you know, theme parks are really cool at night.
Yeah.
But as soon as it gets dark in Disneyland, get the fuck out. You got to go home.
Yeah. Sometimes, like some nights, I guess, on weekdays, and from what I remember, like on weekdays in winter, sometimes Disney would close at like 7 o'clock or some shit like that. I don't know if that's still the way it is, though. They might keep stay open later nowadays.
Yeah.
But, all right. So you want to actually talk about the movie now?
Let's actually start talking about it.
Now that we're like already 12 minutes.
This is not going to be a complicated fucking review.
Now, so this is okay. We didn't know this, and I think you still don't know this because I haven't told you yet, like until I researched this movie, because this came up as a new movie. Now this just came out on DVD, Blu-ray, whatever, like in May of this year from Intervision Pictures, and it's also free on Tubi. It's called Masked Mutilator. Now when we watched it, I thought that it was trying to look like it was made in 1994, like it was a throwback type of movie. Mm. Guess what?
Well, it is.
It was made in 1994, except for the bookends, like the beginning and end part, like with the guy, the podcaster guy, like interviewing the people. That was just filmed like recently.
Okay, that explains
what ended up happening with this movie was that the guys that made it, the one guy, I think he was like the co-writer, the producer, or whatever. Named Dale Schneck, I think his name is. And he was a wrestling promoter, like back in the 80s and 90s. And he had like all these wrestlers that wanted to be in movies. So him and this other one, whose stage name was Brick Bronski, he had been in some trauma films. I guess he was in Class of Nukem High 2 and 3 and shit like that. So they were all into horror movies. So they were trying to get together to do a wrestling themed slasher movies. It's just not technically a slasher because the killer kills people with wrestling moves, which as you should if it's a wrestling movie. I mean, you kind of need to. So they got together in 1994.
I feel hoodwinked now. Because I was going like, man, they got the 80s and 90s toned down.
It's like, look at those shorts. Yeah, oh my God.
Like, it's like, look at her hair, man. She actually cut her hair like that. Well. Now I feel like a fucking dick, man. The whole time I was watching.
We thought they had done like a really good job of like.
And I was going like, I like everything about this, but the score sounds a little too modern. And I bet you they fucking put that score on it later.
I don't know if they did or not, because what ended up happening, like I said, so they made like 80% of the movie in 1994. Then they couldn't get it going. They lost some funding, or they couldn't get enough money, or they couldn't finish it or whatever. And so like it kind of sat for another 2 years, and they worked on it a little bit more in 1996. And then they just couldn't like get it off the ground. So it ended up like in the dude's basement.
Yeah.
And he said he felt really bad. He's like, all this time, like all this footage, it was almost done. And it was like just laying down in my basement. And he's like, all these like actors and the crew and stuff like that, that worked on it. And it's like, they didn't even have like a finished movie, like to show their friends or anything like that. Right. Like, hey, look at this movie I was in. Because some of the people that are in it, a lot of them were like kind of well-known wrestlers. And some of them like went on to like act in bigger things, you know, and are fairly well-known nowadays. So I didn't know who any of them were, but
I'm watching the movie, you know, and I'm watching this guy. He's probably in his 20s, and I'm seeing him pull off a role of a guy supposed to be doing this in the early 90s. And I'm like, yeah, he's got the role down. We did kind of talk like that, or, you know, and I was like, I bet you he doesn't even know what he's saying. You know?
Yeah, it's like that dude's like
far removed from his
culture. Wasn't even born in 1990. He
wasn't even born back then.
Little did we know.
Yeah, little did we know. I'm fucking watching the dude in 91 doing this shit. I feel like an asshole.
I didn't know either, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself.
It's a good movie, though.
Is it
a good movie? Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just kind of like, I mean, just imagine what comes to your mind when you think of micro budget slasher movie made in 1994 with wrestlers.
Yeah, I thought it was even better than it turned out to actually be. Because I thought they were emulating 1991 or 94
or
87 or something. Because there's the 90s still kind of look like the 80s sometimes.
Which is funny because
they were going out of their way to recreate that. Turned out now that was it.
Which I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, now I'm going.
Well,
like,
especially the guy.
Damn.
I think the one guy that was in it that I think the character's name was Steve, right? That was played by Brick Bronski, the guy that comes to, you know, the group home. Like later on, and he's all like college boy and everything. That one ensemble that he had going with like the pink polo shirt and the weird pink and like kind of lavender and white striped shorts that were just like a little too short.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like,
there's nudity in the movie though too, man. The girls are pretty hot in it.
Yeah, titties. You even get to see a little bit of bush. Well, like a little landing strip,
like you had
in the 90s.
Nice fucking, yeah.
She had a little landing strip.
See, the genre's correct. They know who's watching this movie. They know what kind of movie this is. Like, we got to put naked girls in it just to get them to watch it. You know what I mean? They're going to expect that. And so that's what they did. So they went out and probably got some strippers and had them do a scene, you know?
Yeah, get your kid off, as they would say in the UK.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically the premise of this movie is that there's like a group home for troubled teenagers, even though these actors are clearly all like 30.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be under 18 because they make a couple of things like, it's like they can leave when they're 18, right? Because I guess they're all miscreants or whatever, criminals or whatever.
You can leave home when you're...
punching teachers.
Actually, you could, depending on what state you were in, you could leave home when you were like 16 or 17.
No, but I'm just saying that the characters in this said that they could leave the group home
when
they were 18, which implies that they're all supposed to be younger than 18.
Right, okay.
Even though the actors are clearly well over 18. And if they were under 18, then all that nudity would be a little problematic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Don't worry. These girls do not even look 18. They look much older than 18.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but they're clearly not.
I remember when girls looked like that, though, the hair. And then they had that fucking douchebag with that fucking douchebag outfit.
Yeah.
Remember the guy that
turned out to... douchebag outfit.
Yeah, he turned out to be the bad guy.
Spoiler alert. No, that was one thing that I was going to say, was that, so you have a wrestler, and they call him Commando. And he has like a mullet with like a long like ponytail in the back. He's dark haired.
Yeah.
And he's like the tough guy that's like beating up all these kids, like, you know, trying to punch them into shape or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, he used to be a wrestler called the Masked Mutilator, but he lost his wrestling career when he sort of accidentally on purpose, like broke the neck of the person that he was wrestling with. It's like, it's funny because it says they seem to imply that it was accidental, but it totally looked like he did it on purpose. I mean, it totally just went like, look, I just broke someone's neck. What the fuck are you going to do about it?
There's a shit ton of movie-isms in this movie. Okay. They know who you are. They know why you're watching this movie. Okay.
They know who you are.
Yeah. And they're doing things. They were doing things in 1994 that go all the way back to fucking 1974. You know, in these kind of, like, there's a lot of scenes with dudes fucking lifting and in the gym.
Yeah, they're all weightlifters. They're all weightlifting type dudes. Like everybody in this movie.
Yeah, and that's and the weight sets are like good, you know, places to set up where people get hurt or killed or bullied or whatever. You know what I mean? And it's just. It was a movie of its time. When it's doing its deal, I was just like, you know, you start laughing at it. It's like watching Under Siege, you know, with, or watching, you know, fucking, what's that other one? The fucking Bloodsport. You know, it goes back to that level. Bloodsport was silly as shit.
Yeah.
But you still watched it. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of where this one is coming from. And yeah. It's like, they kind of know that. Like I said, there's titties in it. There's like, there's a little landing strip bush in it. If you're into that, there's not there's a couple of kills. There's not a ton of gore. There is some, you know, there's people getting like wrestled to death and like
dudes.
And there is one part where the guy like cuts the body up.
Yeah. It dudes bowing up and talking shit every fucking 5 minutes.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just sitting there going
toxic masculinity. It's
like, dudes, you guys are so sensitive. Yeah. You can't like say anything. You just like look at them the wrong way. And they're just like, I'm going to kick your ass.
Toxic masculinity.
Calm down. God damn it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I just want, I wanted to comment on that. Like, so everybody is like super buff. So, you know. If there's anybody that's into like super buff dudes, there's a lot of that kind of eye candy.
But you
in
see,
there
it's obvious why they did that, because it was entertaining and it was free. They had guys. It didn't cost anything to get them. I won't kill you. I won't kick your ass. You know, and then they were doing
snap into a Slim Jim.
Yeah, and then another guy is fucking talking about how, I'm all today. Hey, you know, I'm good. You better watch your fucking mouth, man. You better watch your fucking mouth. You know, a lot of that.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
A lot of that. Yeah, and they're doing it just like indoors in the house. And you better watch your fucking mouth. And you just, it's not out of the way, man. You know, it's just that.
Yeah.
You know, it was shit that when I was like 15 or 16, I thought that shit was badass. Like, dude with the fucking mullets and shit and the cut off fucking shirts and the fucking shorts. The fucking
Those shorts.
Yeah.
I had a nightmare about those.
Only thing missing was the three fucking stripes on the socks. The knee socks with three stripes on
them. Yeah.
That was,
had those kind of gone out by the early 90s? Yeah, that was 80s.
But, what? But it, the movie it, at times felt like an early 80s, late 70s movies because of the dialogue.
Can we also talk about the slutty girl?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that thing that she was wearing that was like a teddy. But it's like, remember how like in the 80s and early 90s, like everything had those super, super high cut thighs?
It's supposed to make your legs look longer.
So,
but it didn't. It just made your ass look longer.
It made your ass look flat.
Made your ass look flat and really fucking tall. I don't know who the hell came up with that shit. It's ridiculous.
So it's like, I feel like kind of, because when I saw her wearing that, I was like, oh my God, I wonder where they found that. But I guess it's like, that's what
that was
are
just
wearing.
The normal, that was the normal underwear.
The French cut leotards. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Exactly, oh my God, it was horrifying.
Unflattering. Who brought that shit into vogue? Is that like some shit fucking Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical video or something?
I kind of feel, I guess it was. Well, that was kind of like way before that. Well, I mean, that did like bring in the whole like workout gear as regular clothing,
I think that's
which
the
is
first
bizarre.
Time I saw that cut of thing. You saw it in porn too.
Yeah.
Going back. It was just fucking unflattering, but they wore it anyway.
Everybody wore it. That's like all you could get.
It was like the Soviet era. That was all you could buy.
Yeah, it's not like now where you can just get whatever the fuck you want. It's like you just, if you went to the store, that's like you.
We remember what it was like.
It was butt floss or nothing.
Yeah, we went to the store and you couldn't find
butt floss or nothing.
You couldn't buy goth clothes from the store. It was just fucking some shit that fucking was at Sears, fucking Kmart, at the mall. There wasn't any choice. It was just commodity clothes. They're just bulk clothes. These are clothes, you wear them. Everybody else wears them.
It's like
Soviet Russia. You know, you had to order fucking goth clothes from another country or something.
Remember that? I usually, Black Rose. Yeah, I had to order them from Black Rose
and
from overseas.
Yeah, so you had to just make on your own. But yeah, that was just...
I've actually been to the Black Rose store in Camden Market in London. It's like an outside flea market thing, but it's there like all
shopping
the time.
Shopping sucked back then, man.
It did.
Yeah.
Everything had to be mail ordered.
Yeah.
But yeah, so one criticism of this movie is that so they set the masked mutilator guy who runs this group home, and the guy that's going around doing all the killing, and it is death by wrestling. Like, people do get killed in chokeholds. One guy gets killed by the dude like grabbing the back of his hair and just like smushing his face like against, and one guy gets like hugged to death. I guess he kind of like breaks the spine or something. What the fuck is that move called?
I don't know.
Where he gets him around.
Kind of bear hug.
Something like that. So he kills a guy like that. But so they obviously, very obviously want you to believe that the guy that was the masked mutilator is the guy doing the killing. But it will be very clear to you within about 10 seconds of the Brick Bronski character being introduced that he's the killer. I mean, duh. You know what I mean? It's not even a spoiler alert, because if you watch this movie, you'll be like, oh, well, obviously. Because I feel like they were trying too hard to make the main guy with the Flashdance sweatshirt
The mullet. As soon as I started watching this movie, I knew it wasn't going to be some kind of a masterpiece of fucking writing.
Well, yeah, obviously.
That's not what they were trying to do with this. You know what I mean? What they were trying to do with this was a slasher movie on par with Bloodsport.
We're wrestling.
Yeah, wrestlers. We're wrestling.
There is actual wrestling in this. Yeah. Like, the wrestling choreography is actually pretty good, because these are actually real wrestlers.
I think the target audience was, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old guys that really didn't want to see a slasher. They wanted to see more wrestling and dudes talking shit and some naked girls, you know what I mean?
With occasional slashing.
Yeah, with some kind of occasional slashing. It's kind of like a horror movie. Just stay out of my way, you asshole. Dudes are fucking...
That should be the sequel. Yeah, yeah. Stay out of my way, you asshole.
That was my sister.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Can I just say that the fact that this movie is set in a group home for troubled teens and that it includes several large dudes wearing flannel, this reminded me very much of the classic that was on MST, Future War. The one with the guy that looks like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
And he is an alien and he comes to Earth, and there's dinosaurs also that are actually just force perspective puppets that explode for some reason. They did it on it. And there's like a girl who's a nun, except not. And then there's like a group home and there's all these big fat dudes that live in it and wear flannel. It's very weird.
I remember that they had the low budget Van Damme stand in. Yeah. What was that guy's name? He was the fake Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I can't remember the actor's name.
The worst fucking filmography ever, man. Fucking the angles and just everything. This was the worst ever.
And I love that on MST, they called him Jean-Claude Gosh Darn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I think of it. I don't even remember what his real name. Yeah. It's Daniel something, I think.
That movie was worse than this one, though.
That movie was way worse. That movie... that movie had a guy playing a newscaster who had a camera that was just a plastic camera lens clearly taped to a cardboard box.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, I remember that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, here. You can't rent two cameras and put one of them on fucking screen. You got to make a camera out of a cardboard box.
They didn't
box.
Even like paint it black.
It said TV on it, didn't it? It said TV on it. I think it said TV.
But it was clearly a box.
Fucking
they didn't even like paint. Like, they didn't even make it black with a marker or nothing.
Yeah.
It's like they just left. It's
fucking ridiculous, man. This one was better.
That was a great fucking MST episode, though, I got to say, because the movie was just fucking ludicrous. Because I think that one came out about the same time as this one. Maybe... I feel like that one was made in the 90s, too.
That one was incompetently shot, though.
That was incompetent.
Yeah, this one is competently shot.
This one, the only thing about it is that, and I was watching a review of this earlier by Bloodbath & Beyond, their channel, and something that I noticed as well was that the grain, like, from scene to scene is different.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, and I think it's because when they went back to re-edit it, that they reframed some of the shots, so they blew them up.
Yeah,
you know, so they could make it look a little bit better. So it is a little inconsistent, and obviously they made two wraparound segments in the present day, and they actually got one of the same actors back again. who didn't actually look much older, weirdly.
It didn't bother me because I, at the time, I thought it was a mock retro movie.
Right. Which is very funny that we thought that.
And then, like, so I was like loving it. It was like, man, they got the tone down right. Yeah, that's the way it looked. And because it is. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was a retro movie.
I never, thought it was a fake. It's weird. Retro. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah.
But I guess now that I... Well, because you just never see that happen where...
I would have taken the score out of it, though. I would have used like a new retro wave score.
Yeah, that might have worked.
That would have been a lot better. The score that was in it didn't really work with it too well. I'd put a new, like... Put a fucking something you could just source off, you know, a fucking open source fucking right off YouTube, you know,
yeah,
some new retro wave and put that in there and it would have sounded a lot better and would have given you that fake retro feel because that's what it needed.
Yeah.
It needed to feel like it was fake retro.
Maybe they should have gone there. I mean, they did a little bit because, like I said, they shot the modern day stuff.
Yeah.
And then the stuff that they shot in 1994, it's almost like a flashback. Like, so you have the same guy that was in the original movie, except he's, you know, it's 20 odd years later and he's telling like a podcaster about these murders that happened at this group home that happened to him. And he was like some shit
Ed Wood would do.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, this is a seed from which a big tree will grow, you know? Yeah.
Well, like I said, they had,
do a wraparound story.
Well, the wraparound is only like a couple of minutes. I mean, they had almost the whole movie done.
Yeah.
It's just that they never like had the funds to finish it.
Right.
He even said like the guy that was making it, he's like, it was like 80-85% done. And we just didn't have the money to finish it. And we just didn't. So it's like, you just never see that happen where a movie as low budget as this, as independent as this, you know, 20 odd years later, they actually finished it and got somebody to release it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they got a little like Intervision Pictures who kind of dig around and look for like these kind of obscure.
You mentioned what the problem with the movie is though. It doesn't have a budget. And because they don't have any money, everything has to be dialogue driven with some action. So with no budget, what you end up with is guys that are like wrestlers yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And
occasional titties and occasional wrestling.
And that's what you're going to get. It was entertaining.
I found it very entertaining. Right.
It's entertaining.
I mean, just between like the fashion and the dialogue and the haircuts.
And I was thinking that they were faking it. I thought it was fake retro.
But maybe maybe they should sell it like that.
That's
maybe
what I would do.
Maybe they should just not tell people that they actually did shoot it in 1994.
Repackage that shit into a fake retro package.
Because then everybody's like,
oh, this is a masterpiece.
Genius.
Yeah.
It's fucking genius. It's
a masterpiece. I felt like I went back in time.
To everyone wore those horrible shorts and those.
I wonder where they got those outfits.
And that anal floss.
Yeah. I wonder where they got those costumes. Who cut that hair? Oh, master hairstylist that understood the period.
But yeah, it's like I found it really entertaining. And I read an interview with the co-writer and the producer, and he was like super, super happy that, you know, finally the movie was done and finally people were going to get to see it. And like that he found a company that was going to release it. And he seemed super excited. And I thought that was awesome. He's like, because all these people worked on it and never got to see it. And it was just sitting in my basement for 20 something years. And he's like, and that was a bummer. So I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. So like I said, if you want to throw some money their way, I think it's available on Blu-ray and you can buy it. Or, you know, if you want to watch it for free, it's on Tubi for free with ads. But yeah, I thought it was
it's okay.
I thought it was pretty fun.
It's like watching Bloodsport or Under Siege 2. Yeah. You watch it ironically.
Because we're too cool for that shit. Yeah.
I like it.
I did too.
I like it too. That's the life.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
I watch old crazy shit and fucking laugh at it.
Yeah.
I just saw it today. I watched Demolition Man on Blu-ray and fucking realized how fucking awesome that movie is. That movie aged very well. It did. It had a lot of cool shit in it. Wesley Snipes, he's being fucking Simon Phoenix. He's better than the Joker. It's a good movie.
It was.
Yeah, it also predicted the future, predicted a lot of shit. And then fucking Sandra Bullock was playing a fucking cop named Huxley, like Aldous Huxley.
Yeah.
And Brave New World and everything. Pretty cool. I liked it.
Oracle
Munn. Very relevant to today.
Oracle Munn says, we're Gen X. We watch everything ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of do.
Yeah.
I try not to, but, you know, then my natural snarkiness. It's like baked into that generation, I think.
Yeah. I didn't really like Demolition Man that much when it came out, you know, because they made a lot of movies like that back then. But it, watching it today, you're like, man, that was a fucking good flick. And another one that I rewatched recently that was a lot better than I remembered was Stallone's Judge Dredd. It's a lot better than I remembered it. When I saw it, when it came out, I didn't think there was much to it, you know, but I see it now.
I have to say that the more recent movie, that's Dredd,
that's good too.
Kick ass.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're different, but
they are.
They're both good, but they're both different. Sylvester Stallone one was a movie of its time and it kind of had a comic book tone to it, kind of like Superman one or something, you know, kind of a comic book. Maybe it's not the right one. Kind of like Robocop. It had kind of had the same tone from Robocop 1, kind of.
Thank you, Mango.
Thank you very much, Mango.
He said, I really enjoyed this matinee review, and the chat has been awesome.
No, thank you very much, bro.
Aw, thank you.
Other than that, that's about it.
It probably is. I think we've gone on for about 35 minutes.
Okay, we can wrap
it up. Yeah, check out. Have a couple of beers. Get nice and liquored up.
Yeah.
Turn on Tubi and watch Masked Mutilator.
Yeah.
Like I said, don't be mad at me for spoiling who the killer is because you'll figure it out.
Won't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's just something you laugh at.
Like I called it like within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, really? That guy's the killer is making the other guy look like the killer. I get it. Because they were like so focused on making the main guy like, so, you know, just saying. All right. So we'll probably be back to do either another movie review or a sidetrack tomorrow. We'll find out whatever we do. If we can find a new movie to watch tonight, we'll do it tomorrow. So we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. And as usual, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for contributions. And we'll see you later. Bye.